Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John's engineering and producing the show. Time to blast off into a new week. Welcome to our program on this Monday, August the 9th, 2021, in our 11th year, right here on the very radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That means you can listen to the program anywhere as long as you're hooked up to a computer. Just go to buckmastershow.com and or KVOI.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, and our Monday political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe. They have been so good to us on our radio show. I went by and said hello and actually dropped off another job for Moe and Corinne, his lovely daughter. Both of them do just such a beautiful job with all of your framing needs. They've been around. They just didn't get off the bus yesterday. They've been around since 1985, and they are there to serve you at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. And if I could direct you to their website, moesgallery.com. The website's looking really good, and they are doing e-commerce now. So might want to check it out. It's got some very interesting things for sale on the website. Our Monday political face-off today features John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, one-time Republican candidate for Arizona governor, one-time head of the Republican Party. He was chair of the Republican Party at one time here in Arizona. And on the live line, Dr. Don Jorgensen is with us. Don, the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
I'm great, calling in from a rainy New England today.
Well, we're getting a little bit of rain here, too, in Tucson. And while you've been away, whether up in the Northwest or now up in New England, you missed the rainiest July, not just the rainiest July on record, the rainiest month that we've ever had in Tucson, Arizona, over 8 inches officially at the airport. So things are looking pretty darn green here in Tucson, Don.
It's wonderful to hear. We've seen the great videos from friends of the Rito flowing and kayakers and all kinds of odd sightings.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us back on the live line and on the show. John Munger, John, how was your weekend?
It was a wonderful weekend.
What'd you do?
Oh, you know, I puttered around and fixed things.
Tinkered here and there.
Tinkered, and my wife and I had a wonderful weekend together.
Wonderful. All right. Don and John, most Americans believe that President Biden won't run for another term in 2024. Almost half think it would be bad for the country if he did. That's according to a new poll that was done by Quinnipiac. I think I pronounced that right. Quinnipiac University. Don, is it time to hit the panic button? Because polling is showing that the president's approval has been declining, not only in this poll, but others as well.
Right. And he's at his low, which is still higher than Trump ever reached during the last 4 years. So there's no panic here. And, President Biden said he fully intended to run for reelection. I believe him. I don't know of any president but one in, you know, our lifetimes that did not choose to run, and that was Lyndon Johnson. And he had very specific reasons for choosing not to run. He was very unpopular because of the war, and he was looking ahead to a primary season where he was all set to lose some primaries to his opponent. So I think he chose one of those cases where he chose to get out before being fired, if you would. I don't see that with Joe Biden. His approval ratings will go back up when folks start realizing the impact of what he's done so far, which is incredible for the economy, fighting the coronavirus in a way that Trump failed to do. And I think there's no doubt that he will run again when it's time.
I remember that, though, when Lyndon Johnson made that announcement. I think it was the end of January 1968. I got the year right. I think it was, right. Yeah. Anyway, John Munger.
The Wisconsin primary, yeah.
Yeah, the Wisconsin primary. John Munger, what do you think? Do you think Biden will go again?
I think the entire Democratic Party's in a tailspin, and they're really hurting. Biden's ratings, contrary to what Don said, are now, by the Quinnipiac poll that you just cited, Bill, which is a far left polling. They always overpoll the Democrats in that poll. But his ratings are down now to 46% approval rating, which is far below Trump's high and far below what Trump ended up with. So Trump was up to 49-50% in various polls, some 48, some 51, but in that range. Biden's down now to 46. Worse, 46% of the only 36% of the population is happy with the direction of the country. The border's out of control, completely out of control. We've got this COVID pandemic, and the Biden administration is letting these people come in. They're not even testing many of them. They're releasing them back into our society. Meanwhile, they're trying to make the rest of us wear masks and forcing us to get shots and all of those things. And I want to say I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I have my shots. But their policies are totally inconsistent. The Democrats have proposed a new budget that is going to absolutely bankrupt the country.
And we'll talk about that in a few minutes, John.
And people see it. This crime is a mess. The Democratic defund the police movement across the country and all the blue states, blue cities. The crime is out of control. People see that.
Okay.
Americans are not stupid, and they see all these things. I think the Democratic Party's in big trouble, and Biden's in worse trouble.
All right, Don Jorgensen, I know you disagree strongly with what John said, but before you rebuttal him, I think it is worth noting that within the Democratic Party, Joe Biden is very, very popular. The polls show him very popular with Democrats, correct?
Well, that's great for him.
Oh,
but
absolutely correct, yeah.
Yeah, well, go ahead now, Don, with
that's
your...
That's right. There's no discussion there, and what you just heard from John is the Republican litany, the party line of, you know, what they're hoping for without any facts there. They're afraid of Joe Biden because he knows how to beat Trump. He beat him, and he has done what the majority of Americans have wanted done since he's been in there, with the American Families Plan, the American Jobs Plan, getting people back to work, the fact that unemployment has been cut in half compared to what it was just back in November. But I want to touch on one thing John said, because it's so important that the Republicans keep throwing out this mantra of open borders, and it's just complete nonsense. In fact, our southern borders remain closed right now because of public health directives put into place by the Biden administration that the Trump administration did nothing about. So right now, no one's being admitted. They're being closed. Only unaccompanied minors are being admitted so that they do not become victims of gangs or sex traffickers. And those children that are allowed in are being processed after being tested. And any adults that come in seeking asylum legally, all folks coming across are being tracked. They're being tested. They're being vaccinated. In fact, they have a higher vaccination rate than Republicans. So let's talk about who's safer. But this idea of an open border is completely false and complete nonsense. And the kind of baloney being spewed out by folks like Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida about the immigrants coming and spreading COVID is absolutely ridiculous. When we see, for example, Texas and Florida now account for 1/3 of new COVID cases across the whole country. That's where the dangers are, these Republican governors who are turning a blind eye to the lives of the of Americans still at risk.
Well, Don, look, here's the problem. Number one, what I've cited to you is statistical data that Biden's in trouble. He's only at 46%, and you haven't argued with that. That's a fact. That's not Republican mantra. That's a fact. Number two, all you got to do is watch TV and see the hundreds of thousands of immigrants coming in. Talk to the people in Texas where those immigrants are being shipped to their cities, unloaded on buses, and sent into the cities, and the cities are going bankrupt in Texas trying to figure out what to do with all these people. And these are not children. These are people that are coming into their communities, and they are not being shipped out, Don. They are staying in the country because they are coming in seeking asylum. And the law is that once they get into the country, which Biden is doing and Trump wasn't doing, Trump wouldn't let them into the country. They're in this country until they get their asylum process done, and that takes 2 or 3 years. Meanwhile, they're coming in, and they are not getting COVID vaccinated. That's just disingenuous to say that. They are not getting vaccinated. We have no vaccinations going on at the border.
Okay. I should take a break here, but I want Don to respond to John. And so after Don responds to John, then we'll take the break. So go ahead, yeah. Don.
Well, just one example. He talks about those videos, and a lot of those videos have been exposed as being old, not current. The unloading buses and all is just not happening now. The fact is, the procedure is any immigrants that come in and are staying in the United States legally, and that's what's happened. If they're legal, they're sent back. It's closed to them. But those that are seeking asylum legally or children, they are tested. They are vaccinated before proceeding on. And you can look that up. The documentation is there. Unlike the Trump administration, the Biden administration has opened up that documentation and allowed it to be reviewed by credible news sources. And that's simply the facts. This whole idea of busing and open borders is false. But that's what the Republican news organs keep spewing out there.
All right. Let's take a pause right here on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off. John Munger is here in studio, and Don Jorgensen on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will be right back with our face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson. Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, and we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. 3384 East River Road, and this is a perfect time of year to go by there. With that, all that rain, you want to put some beautiful things in the garden for the fall. This is the time to do it. 13-acre site. Also home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Website greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Today with me on the face-off, John Munger is with me in studio, and Don Jorgensen is on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. John, a huge fight is looming on the debt ceiling bill that was announced today.
Yeah, we've just got to stop the spending. And the Democrats just refuse to stop the spending. And the Republicans, I'm hoping they vote against raising the debt ceiling. We've got to finally stand up. And we haven't stood up. But the Democrats surely aren't going to stand up to stop the spending. The Republicans need to. We've got to have some enforcement of fiscal responsibility. I hope the Republicans just say, look, we are not raising the debt ceiling anymore because we're driving this country into the dirt financially.
Don Jorgensen, one thing that caught my eye, Don, in this $3.5 trillion budget plan was Medicare expansion. Medicare would cover dental, vision, hearing under the spending plan. The eligibility age, currently 65, would be lowered perhaps to 60. Of course, there's no guarantee these proposals will make it through the full legislative process, but a lot of people would welcome these changes, Don, to Medicare.
Well, they certainly would, and look at the population we're talking about, and that are seniors who have the greatest need, and a large percentage who, you know, have limited budgets, those that are on Social Security or just have minimums or even having to work through what we might consider retirement age, and that's a growing number. And so these kinds of needed medical benefits, dental, vision, hearing, as those of us who are getting older understand how critical they are, make a huge difference for not just people's lives, but actually for the economy. They're going to allow people to continue working that need to work, to not have to make a decision between, you know, food for the family or other needs they might have versus their health care. With folks living longer, it is an issue. There's always an economic impact, but it's also a moral decision in terms of what the country believes is the right thing to do for seniors, what is the right thing to do as a nation. And there is always an economic concern. One of the factors here as well is some disagreement among the Congressional Budget Office and other accounting folks as to whether or not what the costs will be. There is discussion there. There is a cost, but it's a moral decision as to where we put our taxpayers' money and where our country stands on either taking care of our seniors or not. And it's an idea whose time is long past, It is provided by many other civilized countries in the world, and it's the right thing to do. And if Republicans were smart, they get behind it because it is, you know, the population that they're holding on to with their fingernails, and they'll be kind of up for grabs a bit.
Is it the right thing to do, John Munger?
Well, it'd be wonderful if we had a way to pay for it, but we don't have a way to pay for it. What the Democrats are doing is just spend, 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 and they are creating what a lot of people are calling an inflation bomb, where we're gonna have incredible inflation. That is a tax on everyone in the form of inflated costs. And, you know, if we had a way to pay for this, great, but we don't. And so the bottom line is the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, says this is not paid for. We don't have a way to pay for it. It's just going to be more deficit spending. And so the bottom line is Democrats are talking about everybody's morals, and if we don't accept their morals, then we're bad people. Well, my morals are we got to pay the bill, and so let's get real. Let's quit patronizing the public by telling them there's a free lunch. There is no free lunch. We can't. I love my Medicare, and if we could give Medicare to everybody, I'd be all for it. But there's no plan to pay for it. It's just going to be more and more deficits, and we're going to put that debt on our children and grandchildren to pay for.
Well, I'm glad to hear John say that he favors Medicare for all if we find a way to pay for it, because the Democrats have proposed ways to pay for it. So welcome to the club, John. But on the other side of it, Democrats have proposed ways and identified ways to pay for the increases in this plan. Republicans have shot them down. One example is the tax on the top 0.1%, a huge wealth tax, or a fair share tax, as you could call it, also requiring corporations to pay their fair tax amount. So we still have corporations like Amazon paying zero tax. We pay more tax than they do. So if we can have real tax reform that requires corporations to pay their fair share, the wealthy at the very top to pay a minuscule additional amount, it pays for it, or it goes a long way to paying for it. But every single approach or revenue plan that Democrats put forth that touched corporations at all or touch the super wealthy Republican donors, Republicans shoot down and then say there's no way to pay for it. There is a way to pay for it. There's a fair way to pay for it, but the Republicans oppose it, and they oppose providing this help to those who need it the most.
Well, here's the problem. You're talking about taxing corporations that don't pay taxes, and I agree. Everybody ought to pay a minimum tax. I have no problem with that. There is not enough money by paying a minimum tax to pay for this program. So the bottom line, Don, is you guys want to tax wealth. That's different than taxing income. You want to tax people on their hard assets. So they have to sell those hard assets to pay. They have to sell their house. They have to sell their properties to pay that tax. That's not right. That is government takeover of people's property, effectively. I don't mind saying everybody ought to pay a minimum, say, of 15 or 20%. If you're a certain size corporation, you got to pay a minimum of 15 or 20%. But you guys are proposing a wealth tax. And the listeners need to understand there's a difference between a wealth tax and an income tax. Income, I pay on my income, and on a wealth tax, I have to sell hard assets. I may not have any income, but I got lots of assets, say. I got to sell those assets to pay the government tax. On the children and grandchildren in the future, is immoral.
Okay, Don, you're going to have the final word because I've got less than a minute.
Okay. Most of that is, you know, it's an extremely skewed, slanted view. When you look at the money Jeff Bezos makes as an individual, he doesn't get a salary. So according to, he doesn't have an income of that type. So according to John, he should pay no personal taxes. There's other ways to tax increases in wealth, not taking it away, but tax the increases. That's what we're talking about for that top level. So that money's there. It takes Frank, the will of the Republicans to work with Democrats, and they haven't been willing to do it. That's where the blocks are. The solutions are there. Joe Biden has put together those plans that pay for themselves, but it's the Senate Republicans that are blocking that progress, and it will be to their detriment.
All right, Don Jorgensen, thank you very much. John Munger, thanks very much. Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Fort Lowell and Dodge right next to Copenhagen. A midway point of the Muckmaster, the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Time for our monthly interview segment presented by our friends at the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. With me in studio, Sean Hendrick is with us. Sean is Director of Marketing and Communication. Also with me in studio, Pat Reisner is here from South 32. Gentlemen, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Tell me a little bit about, I know, Sean, you're so pleased with the partnership that South 32 has presented to you and your colleagues at the BBB.
No, absolutely. South 32 and Pat has contributed so much to helping us out in the community and getting, you know, putting the standards of trust out there so people can learn from that. But also, they're a huge supporter of our Torch Awards. Mm-hmm. And we're so happy of how, what they've contributed and how they contribute.
Pat, why did you decide that BBB would be a great hookup for you?
Well, I think it aligns with our values. Mm-hmm. It's the first big event we really got involved with in terms of sponsorship when we first became part of the Southern Arizona business community. And it's mainly, if you go to the Torch Awards each year and see the stories, the values, the trust, the integrity for the businesses that are honored that night, it makes us proud to be a part of it. And it's the standards and values that we want to follow in the way in which we go about our business. So it was a perfect alignment for us.
Pat, tell our listeners a little bit about your company. Who is South 32?
So South 32 is a global mining and metals company that's headquartered in Western Australia. We have mining operations in Southern Africa, Australia, and South America. And about 3 years ago, purchased what we call the Hermosa Project, which is down in Santa Cruz County, south of Patagonia, northeast of Nogales. And it's a zinc, lead, silver, manganese mining project where we're looking to develop a next generation modern mine in Santa Cruz County to provide really critical minerals that are going to be really essential with the direction that our country's going in tackling some challenges and growing and building infrastructure.
So South 32 has been in Southern Arizona then for about 3 years, but you're not actually operating a mine yet. So what's been going on during that period, that three-year period with the company?
Yeah, so part of our approach, we're very deliberate in making sure we get things right when we look at a development like this. We understand sort of the history of mining, and really that's where we started. The area where we're operating was historically mined back as far back as the 1850s through the Civil War. There's a lot of historic mining waste in the area. So the first thing we really did is entered into a voluntary remediation program mm-hmm. with the state of Arizona to clean up some of the old historic mining waste that was on our site, spent about $30 million to create a real state-of-the-art facility, which we could use as a showcase for what modern next-generation mining looks like as an indication of what our standards will be. And cleaned up 2.2 million tons of old mining waste.
Wow.
And really positive feedback from the state. And then concurrent with that, we've been doing studies. So one of the things before we go into a development of this scale, we really want to understand the environment where we operate, looking at every way we can extract the resource to create a safe, sustainable next generation mine. And one that's aligned with the goals of the country. One of the things we've learned is these minerals that we'll produce at Hermosa are becoming more and more strategically important to our country, not just for the state of Arizona.
Pat, I understand you're working on what you would call a carbon neutral mine. Tell me what that is about.
Well, the minerals we'll produce at Hermosa are going to be increasingly in demand as we start to address climate change in
right.
the U.S. So more electric vehicles need more batteries, which require manganese, which requires zinc. More renewable energy requires batteries as well. Every photovoltaic solar cell in the world has silver on it. So if we're going to produce commodities that are really intended to address the challenges of climate change, we feel it's only appropriate in a modern mine to have a mine that doesn't contribute to climate change. So we're looking at ways to design the mine where it's zero carbon emissions. So things like sourcing all renewable power for the mine. So we're working with partners to do that. It'll be an underground mine. All of our vehicle fleets underground will be battery powered, electric, And we're even looking to demonstrate some over-the-road semi-truck technology that's full electric as well, with the aim to not purchase carbon offsets to be carbon neutral, but to actually eliminate our emissions.
People think of mining, they think of those big open pit mines, but you're talking about an underground facility. That presents different challenges, doesn't it?
It will be very different. If you've seen the historic copper mining here, large sure. open pits, mm-hmm. This resource, one, is at great depth, so that doesn't make sense practically or technically.
Mm-hmm. How deep? You say
between
great depth?
Between 1,300 and 4,000 feet below
Whoa,
the surface.
Whoa, that is a long way down. Mm-hmm.
But it also presents an opportunity to create a mining operation that is very different in terms of its environmental performance. So the mining method that we'll use to extract the resource underground creates zero surface disturbance, unlike open pit mines or even a lot of underground mines that would tend to subside.
You wouldn't even know it was there then, would you?
Wouldn't know it was there, which is great. And when we process the ore, the waste rock that comes out of the mill, which would typically be disposed on the surface, we can take back underground and backfill, which further reduces our impact on the surface, which is part of minimizing the impact on environmental resources and water and the things like that.
Yeah, you bring up water, Pat Reisner. What is the water footprint on this project?
Well, this is something we've spent a lot of time studying, understanding we're in the desert Southwest. While we've had some wonderful monsoon rain recently, we all know.
The rainiest month on record here.
Yeah, it's just been amazing, really wonderful. Mm-hmm. But it's an important, precious resource. So this is one reason we've been in the study phase for 2 or 3 years now, is we spent a lot of that time studying subsurface and surface groundwater resources, doing testing in the field, modeling, to try to really make sure that this mining development won't impact adversely those precious water resources. And one of the ways in which we're demonstrating that, the new facility we've built to clean up that historic mining waste, is a dry stack facility where the waste material goes back. We dry it before it goes back in. And when we produce tailings as a producing mine, we'll continue to do that. It reduces your water consumption by 70 or 80%.
Hmm. Of course, Patagonia has a very rich ecotourism business. A lot of people love to go down there to recreate. They love to look at the birds. How will the mine impact all of that?
It's something we're very sensitive to, and we've done a lot of listening in the community, and we know the restorative and ecotourism economy is very important to them. The interesting thing, the geologic forces that created the Patagonia Mountains, which made it such a special place, are also the same forces that created these important mineral resources. So the first thing we're doing is working with environmental and community groups to understand better what are the key drivers so that we can actually amplify that and support that. You know, I guess the primary thing is, how do we build a next generation mine that can effectively coexist? And to your point earlier, leave as minimal a trace as possible, yet produce minerals that are going to be essential for our country as we address other environmental challenges like climate change. And in doing so, create jobs in a part of the state really that has needed economic stimulus and needed, you know, an economic opportunity, a game changer like this, for a very long time down in Santa Cruz County.
Pat, where are these minerals normally found in this country, the ones you're talking about? And again, what minerals are we talking about?
So it's zinc, lead, silver, and manganese.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is, we produce about 70 to 80% of the copper we consume domestically in the United States. We're not that reliant on foreign sources. Mm-hmm. We're completely reliant on foreign sources for these four minerals.
Really?
There's no manganese produced anywhere in North America. Most of it comes from China. And the majority of the zinc and lead in the world comes from China or Peru and other sources. So we import everything. So as we all want to tackle this big challenge of climate change, shift to renewable energy, electric vehicles, this is an issue. And the new Biden administration has issued some executive orders to try to create domestic supply chains for these minerals. The federal government's listed manganese as a strategic critical mineral and nominated zinc as well, demonstrating the importance of domestic production. We can do it here, set a new standard for how mining's done, and employ a lot of people in Santa Cruz County.
Yeah, we haven't. That's so important, and I do want to touch on that. What kind of workforce are we talking about? What kind of numbers do you think when you really get up and running?
We're still working through the specifics as part of the study, but this scale of mining operation would be one of the larger underground hard rock mining operations in the country, would employ several hundred full-time for decades to come. And typically, you know, around 1,000 or even more during construction. And a mining job you know, a mining job in Arizona pays about double the average household income in Arizona. So it is a significant sort of socioeconomic impact in the area where we operate.
That's great to know, Pat Reisner of South 32. Thanks for kind of filling us in. How do you move your minerals then after you bring them out of the ground? Truck or rail or both? Or
so we're located up in the mountains with minimal infrastructure, and obviously we don't want to add to the disturbance by creating a significant build out of infrastructure. So the concentrate product of each of these minerals would be trucked to either a railhead or to another facility to transport it to be smelted into metal.
All right, Pat Reisner of South 32. Thank you, Pat. Thank you for your support of the BBB.
Thank you for having me. We really appreciate it.
And Sean, tell me a little bit, and we are out of time, but I do want to circle back to the BBB and your website and your scam alert, which we try to hammer on every month. What's the contact info?
You can go ahead and go to our website at bbb.org, and you can also nominate a company such as Pat's for a torch award next year. And you can go to bbb.org/Tucson Torch to nominate a business that is good for our community.
And as far as the scams, be cautious with some of those calls that are coming in. I seem to get now 3, 4, 5 a day. And they used to start, Sean, they'd at least start after 8 o'clock. I'm getting calls now at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's just exactly right. I am too. And when you get those calls, you know, if you think you're being scammed, hit our scam tracker at bbb.org/scam tracker.
And then share with others your experience. Maybe it'll help people out. Thank you very much, Pat and Sean.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, Bill. That'll wrap it up for our BBB report for this month. And we've got, we're going to talk about planetary science with our friend, Dr. Mark Sykes. He's in the house. He'll be next on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. Have you thought about maybe getting away? A lot of people would like to pile in the car and take off. Got an idea for you. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a very doable road trip. Maybe three and a half hours, depending on where you're leaving from in the Tucson area. And it will take you to a beautiful area of the Southwest United States. And it's cooler over there, which is, and I don't want to say necessarily greener. It's probably as green as Tucson in the Gila National Forest, but it would be a great weekend or anytime, midweek, fine. Take off. Southwest New Mexico is the website, spelled out, southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find info about places to stay and all sorts of ideas of stuff to do. Dr. Mark Sykes joining us now, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which will be celebrating coming up this spring. Next spring, 50 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Oh, just great. Great to be here, Bill.
And I should, I rarely mention it, and I should mention it more, that not only do you know everything about the sky and planetary stuff, but you also had a 30-year career in opera as part of the chorus.
Yep.
And now you're starting to kind of write about some of the things you did. And it's also a book that's going to be involved with food.
Well, I'm just writing stories for my family.
Jumping the gun I'm not making it sound like it's going to be available at Amazon.
Right now, it's for internal consumption. We'll see where it goes. But
okay.
A lot of fun history of hijinks backstage and just fun and people. Our art in terms of our singing, our stagecraft, mm-hmm. and actually the Arizona Opera Chorus developed a real national reputation for being a great place for singers to come and try out new roles because we were very supportive. And so we had a lot of people from the Met that would come, for instance.
How did you get into that?
Oh, it was like 84, Bill. It was a long time ago.
Well, I know, but had you been singing
I was a composition major in college, among other things, and they had a required choir mm-hmm. class. Mm-hmm. They liked my voice, and when I found my way to working in planetary science as a graduate student, mm-hmm. I needed to scratch my musical itch, and they mm-hmm. were the company was advertising for choristers for Boris Godunov. And I thought, I'd just seen the opera in San Francisco, and I thought, you know, that would be fun to do. Huh. And so I auditioned, got in, and stayed in for another 34 years.
Is opera an acquired taste? In other words, young people being exposed to it maybe at an early age, was that your case? Or
No, it was something that I got exposed to in college and after college. And it's beautiful stuff, and a lot of kids don't get exposed to it. And I found that as I was doing, I did over 40 different productions, 40 different operas over the years, that when you're performing them and learning them and doing them, that you just find so much to appreciate in them, in addition to just the beautiful music that mm-hmm. is a part of so much of it.
Favorite opera that you worked on?
I have a ton of them. You know, okay. Carmen, Boris, Il Trovatore. Yeah.
Well, and the book for internal consumption, for the Sykes family. Also has a food component. And,
well, that's a separate. That's a separate thing.
Oh, can't you somehow put it all together?
Well, who knows? Who knows? But no, I was just writing about old family recipes and how I cook and what I was raised with, and stories of food in our family going back over 100 years.
Food is community. It's
food is family.
Yeah,
you know?
Food is family.
Yeah.
Favorite recipe?
God, you got me.
I know. You didn't know I would be going this direction.
I didn't know you were going this.
But I've still got a couple of minutes for our topic.
Well, I'll tell you, I do like haggis.
Haggis, the Scottish.
We just started making it the last few years. But
and for folks that don't know, haggis is a Scottish dish,
mm-hmm.
and it is what?
Parts is parts.
Parts is parts.
But no, I mean, meatloaf and spaghetti and meatball, you know, stuff a lot of people, you know, tuna noodle casserole.
Everything but the kitchen sink. Throw it all in there. China's space station has emerged as a competitor to some commercial ventures. Is China going all in, Dr. Mark Sykes? Are they kind of the new competitor to maybe go up against some of our commercial endeavors?
Sure. I mean, they are developing their own program. You know, they were excluded from the International Space Station from pretty much the get-go. And so they have built their own station. It's much smaller. The International Space Station, if you were light down on a football field, would cover an entire football field.
Okay, size. Then.
The China Space Station, when it's built out, this version will be about 20% the size of the International Space Station, shaped like a T. You know, they've got a core module right now. They'll be adding a module to that for crew. They'll be adding a couple of modules for lab space. But they're very, you know, I tell you, I've been over there. I've talked to people in their space program over there. And you know, they're so excited. So they're so proud of all the stuff they've been doing. You know, the landing on the moon, orbiting the moon, landing on Mars now. And these are a lot of young engineers. It's almost like kind of going back to the 60s and 70s in the U.S. Yeah. And now they're
huge. So they're all in.
They're totally all in. Mm-hmm. It's a great source of pride for them as a nation, and well deserved.
When are they launching the new space station?
Last April,
it was launched
just a couple of months ago.
Okay,
yeah. And they got people up there now.
Really?
Yes. I think a max crew right now of 3.
I've got a picture of it in front of me. It is kind of a handsome looking. You said like it's a T shape.
It will be a T shape. Yeah.
Will be.
Right now it's just the central module with some solar panels.
But it's going to be a little tighter than our International Space.
Yeah, well, they'll have fewer people too. You know, starting out. But no, they've been very impressive, and really that's an area that I think that we should be open to partnering with China on. Right now, we're not allowed to use any NASA funds for any bilateral stuff with China by law. I think that's a huge mistake because, I mean, even if you want to view them as an enemy, just think of your godfather too, right?
Keep your enemies close.
And even in Soviet Union times, you know, we had a lot of ties to the scientific area, which was great for communication between the societies, and I think that that's something that we should take advantage of here.
Mark Sykes, Mr. Renaissance Man. Opera, food, and science all coming together. And you can find out about what Mark and the team do, and they have dozens, over 100 people right now that are doing research, right? Over 100, something like that?
Oh, yes, 115, 20.
There you go. Planetary Science Institute. Here's the website, psi.edu.
Yes.
Great to see you, Mark. Thank you very much.
Bill.
See you next month. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Always fun. A lot of content today as we kick the week off. Do it again tomorrow, 12:04. Have a great afternoon.